I would invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and then leave your Bibles open because I want us to read it together, and then there are, every once in a while, there will be a phrase that I want you to read with me. And as you're turning there, I need some help from kids. So any kids, could you guys come forward to help me out? Anybody else? Some kids that come on up forward and help me out. I need you guys to imitate me. So I'll need you guys to face me. So you guys can line up down here, right, you know, in front of me. And you'll probably need to spread out just a little bit, because I don't want you to hit each other in the face or anything like that. So spread out. Can you spread out? That means going like this. All right. Good. And spread out just a little bit down this direction. All right. We got one more here. All right. And okay. So you're not going to hit anybody if you go like this? Are you going to hit anybody in the face? Oh, good. Okay. Now, imitate me. Can you do that? Do what I do. Good? Oh, you guys are great! Now, I want you to turn around, face the congregation, look at the people out there. Now, imitate me. No, you can't turn around. You gotta face the congregation, and especially you way out here over here, you'll probably need to turn a little bit even away from me so you can't see me out of the corner of your eye. So you can't see me? All right, ready? Now, imitate me. I don't know how to say this, but you're not doing very good because I haven't even moved, and some of you are going like this. And now you're not imitating. Oh, what are we gonna do? It's hard to imitate me if you don't see me, right? Now I would ask the parents present to please stand up. There's some parents out there. All right, parents, I want you to imitate me, and then you guys can imitate the parents out there, okay? Well, let's try that. Wow, this is great. Oh, you guys did so great. Now, everybody can sit back down, and you guys can go back out there, and we'll talk about this, because the lesson talks about imitating somebody. In Ephesians chapter 5, it begins, follow God's example. In the Greek, the original language, it's actually imitate God. So let's read chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 together. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. As we talk about the family church, today we're moving into this idea of putting the truth into practice in our family churches, that worship is not only that time that we spend around God's word, both here and in our families, as we have encouraged family devotions and personal Bible reading, but it's also living out our Christian life, showing how much we consider our God is worth. That's what worship comes from, that God is worth everything to us. Now, as we think about teaching our children to worship God, to imitate God, there is a problem. They have a hard time seeing God. But they don't have a hard time seeing their parents and grandparents and uncles and aunts. They learn what God is like from the earliest on by watching us as adults. Now that's a pretty awesome responsibility, especially in the prayer For the day, we heard that our Father is gracious and merciful, kind and compassionate, generous and just. So if we want our kids to see God in us so that they can learn about God, they can imitate God and worship Him in their lives, then these are the qualities that we want in our lives. Again, we said that the Father is gracious and merciful, kind and compassionate, generous and just. The trouble is, as I think about my role as a leader of the family church that I'm a part of, I recognize that I have very often not been generous and kind and merciful and just. That I have given my kids and the people around me a wrong impression. If you're a believer in Jesus, is that the way you really want to act? And every one of us has to make that confession. We haven't been perfect imitators of God our Father. We don't always look like God our Father, and so we are giving it a wrong impression to our kids. So I just want to admit that right up front. And we can very easily feel discouraged. Every time I think about this whole concept of the family church, the overwhelming feeling I get is a sense of discouragement. I tell people when I'm visiting with them that it's when you become a parent that you start to begin to understand how sinful you are, because you start to see the sinful patterns in your life repeated in your kids, and you go, ah! You know, you want them to have a perfect parent, and the harder you try, the more you fail. But take a look at that Ephesians passage again. It says, follow God's example, be imitators of God. Would you read that next little phrase with me? Therefore, as dearly loved children. What does that mean? Well, this past week, I got to see one of my grandsons, and I was rocking the grandpa thing. You know, I took him to McDonald's and told him that we were going to spend a long time there in the play area. But first, he had to finish his Happy Meal. And he was doing great, I thought. He was eating that Happy Meal. But I wasn't watching closely enough. And by the time he got to the last couple of chicken nuggets, they're just kind of, you know. So his mouth is like this, you know, because they're gone. Now I can go play. And all of a sudden, he starts to go, too many chicken nuggets in the mouth, right? All right. So I get my napkin out. I'm ready to catch a mouthful of half-chewed chicken nuggets. What I didn't realize is he had also triggered his gag reflex. I didn't just get a half-chewed chicken nugget or two. I got the whole Happy Meal. All over my hands, all over his clothes, all over our shoes. And I used about 50 McDonald's napkins to clean up the mess. Do you suppose my grandson is still a dearly loved grandson? Of course. He puked all over me, but he's still the son whom I love. As we try to carry out our roles as spiritual leaders in our families and in our circle of friends, our small groups, and we see that we failed, remember, you are a dearly loved child of God. How can I say that with confidence? I put the baptismal font out there in the center of the sanctuary today to remind us. Because it's in baptism that we have this beautiful reminder that we are a dearly loved child of God, no matter what we have done. What a pleasure it was to share this news with a single mom who had a baby out of wedlock and coming and talking to a pastor about baptism and to be able to assure her that when she baptizes, has her baby baptized, it's the time for her to remember that in her baptism, she is also clothed with Christ. And that when God the Father looks at her, he sees Jesus. That's his promise to her in baptism too. And that just as God the Father said to Jesus at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son, whom I love, with him I am well pleased." That's the promise that God is giving to her and to each one of us. Every day, let's go back to our baptisms and remember that we're clothed with Christ. God sees us clothed in what Jesus has done for us. And he says, "This is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I love. Nothing that you have done is going to change this. This is my unconditional promise to you. This is my Son, this is my daughter, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." What do we really want to convey to our kids? Not that we are perfectly kind and compassionate and forgiving, but that we have a God the Father who is perfectly kind and compassionate and forgiving. And as we admit our failures and claim again that forgiveness, we are giving a great example to our kids who are watching us. Then Paul goes on and he changes the picture from being an imitator to the idea of smelling like your brother. Take a look again at the text, verse 2. "Walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." That reference to a fragrant offering takes me back to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, when God, through Moses, gives all these animal sacrifices, you know, they're burning up all this meat. God loves the smell of burnt meat, go figure, because over and over again it says, this is a pleasing aroma to God. The cross must not have been a pleasant place to be, not just from the viewpoint of what you saw, but also what you smelled. But God the Father has this unusual sense of smell. He smells the offering of Jesus on the cross for each one of us. And he says, "Oh, that's nice." And that's what he invites us to be to the world around us. That we smell like our brother, with the smell of self-sacrifice. And that's becoming more and more important, especially as we think of helping our children and preparing our children to be missionaries to the world around us. Many of us grew up in an age when the society around us smelled the church and said, "Smells pretty good, smells just like us because we're all part of the church." Sad to say, today, as our kids are growing up in what's called a post-Christian culture here in the United States, most people around them will smell the church and say, "It stinks," because they see some of the scandals that have taken place even in the highest levels of some churches. They see the hypocrisy in the lives of Christians around them. They work with people who claim to be Christ, and when they walk through the hallway at work, there's a stench because there's just something about them that says that they are not kind and they are not forgiving, and there's just people that you just don't want to be around. There are all kinds of people in the world, and especially as the next generation grows up, that will grow up and they'll smell the church and say, boy, it stinks. And we might say, oh, what's the use? We can't make a difference. I got great news for you. The Ephesians stank too. In fact, they stunk so bad that Paul could smell them 1,000 miles away. Paul was in prison in Rome as he's writing to the Ephesians, and he says, you guys stink. Look at chapter 4, verse 31, the last verse, or the second last verse of that chapter. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Was the Apostle Paul talking just for the sake of talking? Or was he saying, you know what? Even 1,000 miles away, I can smell in your congregation that there is bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, and malice. And you guys stink. And that's true of us too. That's why we appreciate that we are children of God. But God used sinful human beings like the Ephesians to cause the church to explode as they lived out this new fragrance, this fragrance of self-sacrifice to the world around them. And that's why in our culture today, we need to focus on something that perhaps 50 years ago the church really didn't have to think about, because most people thought, well, the church smells pretty good because we're all kind of church people. Today we have to smell good to the people around us so that they can even hear the message about Christ. And that's why we focus so much more than when I was growing up on the whole idea of we need to be this fragrant offering, aroma of Christ in the world around us in the way that we live. That we live a generous life. But how do we do that? And how do we train the next generation? When I was growing up, I don't remember my folks talking to me about offerings at all. I just know that as we got into the car, I got 2 quarters, one for Sunday school and one for church. And what my parents gave, I really didn't know. I didn't really learn generosity until Pastor Berg's grandpa, Norm Berg, met with us new missionaries and said, if you're not tithing now, you better start. Because everybody in the mission congregation knows whether you're going to be giving generously or not. How can we train the next generation to be generous? That's what I love about this whole idea of the rock star. They don't need to know every dollar that we give to God's kingdom and to other causes, but let's involve them in showing Christian kindness and love to the people around them. Now, I could just ask, hey, everybody, would you guys start a rocks fund in your household, whether you have kids in the household or not? Could you just start a rocks fund, a fund that you've set aside so that when there is a need that you see, that you'll have some funds available that you can respond in Christian kindness so that you can be the aroma of Christ and his sacrifice to the world around us, so that gradually people will start to say, maybe there's something to this Christianity. I could ask you to start that rocks fund, but if you're like me, I go, I heard it. And then about 2 minutes after I walked out the door, I forgot. That's why we decided to work with our accountants and say, how can we give money away? First time I'm ever going to get to do this. To give money away. We have what we call Rocks Fund seed packets right here. Some of the seed packets have $10 in, some of them have $20 in, a couple of them have $50 in. What we're asking is that you come forward as family members, especially those of you who have kids, come forward and receive a Rocks Fund seed pack. Because I'm pretty sure that if I put one of these maybe above my coffee pot every day, it'll remind me, oh yeah, I want to be putting aside a little bit more money so that I'm ready to do something that shows kindness and love to somebody when the opportunity arises. That I want to pray about, you know, God, give me an opportunity. And all we're asking you to do is we're asking you, the accountants want this, is to sign your name. There's four different places where you can sign up here. Sign your name, print your name, because I can't read your handwriting, some of you. And over the next few months, we'll just ask you to share with us, how did you use this seed packet to grow your Rocks Fund and make a difference in somebody else's life? Or in some organization. And I'm not asking you to do this tomorrow or do this next week. Really, for me, I'll put it right above my coffee pot because I'll see it every day. And just pray, Lord, give me an opportunity. Open my eyes. So at this point, I want to pray over these seed packets. I've got about 30 of them for this service, so first come, first serve. And as our theme song for this sermon series is played, I would just ask people to come forward and pick up a Rocks Fund seed packet. Let's pray over them first. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have been kind and generous and compassionate to us. You have given us the greatest gift, the gift of your Son who has sacrificed himself on the cross, and we have forgiveness and life because of that. And now, Lord, we want people to know that you are a kind and gracious and compassionate God through us. And we just pray that you would use these seed packets to just plant the seed in our hearts of looking for opportunities to show that kind of love and kindness to the people around us, and that you would bless those efforts. And some of them would just be a little nudge to say, hey, Christians are okay, and maybe some people will actually have a chance to talk to them about the Savior, but just let people know that we want to look like you, and that you are this perfect Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite you to come forward.
From before time began, by your design and hand, the author of life gave breath to me. Formed in the secret place, you smiled upon my face, called me your child. What a mystery. And it's all because of grace. You made a place for me, opened up my eyes to see the wonders of my Father's love. And from eternity, you placed me in a family with all the saints bought by the Savior's blood. You made a place for me. facing this world alone. When darkness was all I'd known, you were my hope in dead of night. Strength of a father's love, the warmth of a mother's touch, foreshadows the love and joy of Christ. Jesus, your arms are open wide. You made a place for me, opened up my eyes.
At this time, then, the offering will be gathered.